It's time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, Sparking Global Changes in and Around the World. And so much has been going on, ladies and gentlemen, and especially here in these United States of America. With the 2024 presidential election now behind us, a CNN exit poll stated that 91% of black women who voted for Vice President Kamala Harris. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is also said that they voted for democracy. Now, with President-elect Donald Trump and his talk about democracy and his talk about women's rights in this country, what does the future hold, ladies and gentlemen? And what should women, and especially black women, be thinking now? Brace yourself for the next 4 years of this administration. Well, to talk to us about this morning is a humanitarian leader who is rooted in culture and diversity. She joins us this morning. She was born Shoshana Williams. And ladies and gentlemen, she's going to tell us how she feels. She's going to tell us about her humanitarian efforts and humanity on a whole, ladies and gentlemen. I'm now joined by Miss Shoshana Williams. Good morning, Miss Williams. How are you?
I'm doing well.
As I welcome you to Grooving Radio this Saturday morning, the 2024 presidential election is behind us. I want to talk briefly about the historic movement of Mrs. Kamala Harris running for president. How historic you think that was? I want to start there. I want to talk about the historic movement that we just saw.
Well, firstly, Ms. Harris is not the first female vice president that has ran for the election, but she is the first black woman and also who identify in the Asian community mm-hmm. running for president. Mm-hmm. So that was historical. Mm-hmm. She raised her voice and had a lot of women, not only women, but mostly women, just very excited and supportive of her effort. So mm-hmm. historically, she will be remembered as the black woman, you know, who mm-hmm. came out and said, you know what, I am running for president. So mm-hmm. I think that she stirred a lot of emotions positively and just pushing us forward as a nation for women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you look at the CNN exit poll, it said that 91% of black women who voted for the vice president, and they voted for democracy. Now, with this president-elect and what he have said and what he have done and what is Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court is shaped in the favor of Mr. Donald Trump and the Republican Party, what do you think the future holds for democracy and women and women's rights in this country?
So we are in an element of surprise with Mr. Trump elected as the president. Mm-hmm. And for the future, what Donald Trump is basically doing is he's prioritizing on, for example, Roe versus Wade with abortion rights. Mm-hmm. He has always had a tight lip and very strict about abortion rights mm-hmm. and stating that, you know, he does not want 9-month term where a child could be aborted. So he does believe in contraception and support of like IVF that would be funded by the Trump administration or our health insurance. But that's just not enough mm-hmm. When it comes to women and rights for their bodies. Mm-hmm. So it is a very controversial time when you think about where would women be in the near future if we had a setback of Kamala Harris not winning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She did not really touch topic a lot about where do we stand as women in his campaign. Mm-hmm. The most he said simply was that he would be in favor of like IVF and contraception, but he wants a decision for Roe versus Wade, for example, to be amongst the people and not the government, which we had not had in 53 years. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to be flexible, but it's not flexible enough to ask questions. So we are still waiting to hear about what would that entail for women and just making decisions for their body.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you listen to the president-elect and you listen to his vice president and all the rhetoric that they have put out there, especially when it comes to this topic, the Supreme Court rolled back Roe v. Wade. They did roll back Roe v. Wade. And you heard lies. You heard some lies coming from this elect administration about women having abortion at 9 months. And there's no proof of that in this country. And all of those things were fact-checked. As a young woman and as an immigrant, as a child of an immigrant, and even their rhetoric when it comes to migration, are you a bit nervous about any of this?
So yes and no. We're still under the Biden administration when it comes to immigration. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump has put in his cabinet the border czar, Mr. Holman, Holman, mm-hmm. who is previous ICE director. So mm-hmm. he has experience where ICE, for example, has changed over time. And he made a statement that he does not want to deport individuals. He would deport the whole family. So yes, that has created a lot of controversy in the past week mm-hmm. With his statement. And a lot of people are afraid. But once again, we are still under the Biden administration. For those who are already here in this country, I don't think that would be the rollback. It would be taking the stance of making an executive order where it would be limiting the amount of those who cross, for example, the southern borders.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to go back to the Roe v. Wade, and I want to go back to the woman's right issue when it comes to abortion. The lies that is being perpetrated by Mr. Trump and his vice president-elect, Mr. J.D. Vance, how frightening are those lies?
It's frightening in regards to who will pay for abortion. So, for example, Ms. Harris, she put in support for the repeal of Hyde Amendment, which bans the use of federal funds mm-hmm. for abortion care with very little expectation. So it's one thing to say I need to have an abortion, and another thing is who is going to pay for this. Mm-hmm. So I think the challenges under the Trump administration, it would be who would pay for mm-hmm. The abortion. So I think that they have a tight lip right now, and we don't really know if there are going to be changes in regards to can abortion be paid for under, for example, Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a waiting. It's brewing, and we're waiting, and we want to know a little bit more. But as far as what's in place right now, we have to be patient with that, which may stir a little uproar for those who are in favor of Democratic views and support of abortion.
You know, you have used the word patient a few times. Let me ask you this next question then. Do you think if a woman... And if Kamala Harris was elected president, do you think this abortion issue would be front and center? Or do you think that this should not be a political issue? This should be just the solely rights of a woman.
It has to be a political issue when you think about access to care mm-hmm. and aftercare and also additional services like behavioral health. And individuals, women who may have carried full term and still lost a child and may need postpartum care as well. So it is a political issue in saying who would be able to pay for mm-hmm. these services. So there is no comparison to how Kamala would have pretty much fought for the rights of abortion mm-hmm. versus Trump. And the reason why I say be patient, because that ties into health insurance plans and how much would it cost mm-hmm. And also in what in what increment would it be passive? For example, Trump administration stated during his RNC that he does have exceptions for those who are a product of rape or incest, or if the mother passed away at childbirth. So I believe there is coverage under those exceptions. Otherwise, there are none as of right now under his administration.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Ms. Shoshana Williams with a background rooted in humanitarian roots and diversity. And the conversation this morning is we're trying to shape it around what the next 4 years and beyond is going to look like. Some say, Shoshana, that it seems as if America has shifted to the very far right. Now, with so many humanitarian issues happening, not just here in America, but since we're here in these United States, and we have a president-elect who have stated that under his administration, and he's putting in place right now as we speak, under his administration, we will see mass deportation, we will see denaturalization of citizens, we will see birthright citizens shifting and changing the game in the middle of this. Now, reports are now some immigrants and some Americans are moving away from these United States. The migrant issue here in the city of New York, we saw where Mayor Eric Adams challenged the government on these issues. America is built on the backs of immigrants. Do you think the negativity that's been spread by this administration that is now elected to take office next year, and for all what they have said about immigrants and mass deportation, which I call ethnic cleansing, do you think that holds any kind of positivity for the next 4 years if they do what they said they were going to do?
So when you speak of positivity, based on what I see now and what has been transpiring, is that those who fall under migrant or refugee populations, they're trying their hardest to be able to become citizen holders or green card holders and receive like work authorization. So we are pushing, as for example in New York City, New York State, for those that are actually here already to be able to move forward so they can come out of that pool of those who might identify that they would be deported. So once you already have an appointment to go before a judge and also seek asylum or work authorization, you cannot be deported. So the goal is to move forward in helping the individuals that are already here to be able to be a part of that working class, be a part of that class that holds a green card. So I think those that are already here, they're in a better position versus those that are at the border and maybe trying to come in as of next year. It may limit the amount of people that can come in, but it's not going to be where it's just going to be a mass shutdown and people are going to be separated. It seems very daunting and excruciating and harrowsome for some, but I know right now that it would be illegal for those who are already here to say, okay, we are going to mass deport them.
We can say it is illegal, but the mere fact that Mr. Stephen Miller, one of his czar, have stated that they will go and search for folks who are already U.S. citizens. This is coming from their mouth, that they will go in search of some folks who are already U.S. citizens and denaturalize them. Isn't that making folks nervous, you think?
It makes them nervous. But once again, in the United States, we have laws, for example, keeping families together and temporary protected status. So that's the one that we should focus on. In other words, if you hold a temporary protected status, which is a TPS, you cannot be deported. So those who already hold citizenship, even though the czars are making these daunting allegations that they're going to remove them and denaturalize them, that is going to be a long time in the court system. Mm-hmm. And who is going to pay? Who is going to pay for mass deportation? That is the question.
Well, that question has been lingering around for quite some time now. Since Mr. Trump was running, that question has been out there. And some experts are now saying that this will cost the U.S. in upwards of some $300 billion. But it's just the rhetoric that's been put out there. And the folks who he has elected so far, which is sending shockwave not only in Washington, D.C., but if you look at even his intelligence pick, it is sending shockwaves around the world, and this is making a lot of folks nervous. I'm not sure if you saw the piece this week when he went to visit the White House and visit with the sitting president, Mr. Joe Biden, and then he went and met with Republicans on Capitol Hill. He also stated that he would like to serve a third term. Again, these are things that has been said and has been said by the president-elect. And again, I don't want to sound like I want to make people even more nervous. But the mere fact that Shoshana Williams, he's saying these things, it is putting folks in a different frame of mind. And some folks, like myself, are saying the damage is already done. Because if you look at the mere fact that they're in full control of the Senate, they control the White House, they now control the Congress, the House of Representatives, and they have the Supreme Court on their side. Should we sit lightly and think that even though there is laws here in this country, should we sit lightly and think that these guys are not going to do what they're promising that they will do?
So I want to answer it in all neutrality. Mm-hmm. So Donald Trump is one thing, but his czars, for example, Tom Homan, what they're alleging is that there are children, for example, in cages. Mm-hmm. So why hopefully in cages they can go back home? So mm-hmm. under certain circumstances, they would have to prove. Why is it that they should seek deportation? For example, if a person is allegedly had passed away at the border, they want to reduce the amount of those that inspire to be here, but they don't get here. Mm-hmm. So they're more honing in on what may not be reported, mm-hmm. And what we don't see. Mm-hmm. And if you think about how America is based on capitalism, mm-hmm. the new working class would become these immigrants. The new working class would become these refugees and asylum seekers mm-hmm. who, in fact, are doing the work. Now, as a majority, we have the workers versus the people. So we need more supporters. We need more people hands on deck to work within these humanitarian effort fields to be able to produce that work so they won't be able to be deported. So it really falls back on the people.
Okay.
It falls back on the people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned work and you mentioned housing. Let me ask you a question. If there is an influx, if there's a large influx of migrants that get shipped out of this country, whether they're here illegally or whether they're here legal, if there is a large influx of migrants that get shipped out of this country, how you think the workforce and housing and the housing market especially will be affected?
So regardless if we have millions of migrants, asylees, and refugees, the housing market, due to COVID, has skyrocketed, for example, in New York City. Mm-hmm. And there are some brewing laws in regards to the fee that you would have to pay prior to moving. So Mayor Eric Adams had just released a statement that rent will increase. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is outside of the control of immigration.
Mm-hmm. The consequences of elections. Your thoughts on the importance and the consequences of elections?
As of right now, we have a president who stated we won't have any more elections. Mm. We won't have any more rights to vote in the future. Mm. And I think that was stated to reduce rigging of elections. And it's always going to be for the people, whether it's Republican or Democratic parties, because you're looking at billions of people around the world. So my say to that is, regardless of what the people have to fight, Mm-hmm. And fight not in physically, but fight using their words, mm-hmm. support, building supporting communities, mm-hmm. and pressing forward. So regardless if there's executive orders being signed, they mm-hmm. still have to be passed through the Senate. They still have to pass through state legislators. Mm-hmm. They still have to pass through. And even on those elected bodies, there are women as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the mere fact, though, Ms. Williams, that the GOP control the Senate and the GOP control the House, yeah, which is the Congress, saying that these legislation has to go through the Senate and the House, it is also in their favor. And just to backtrack a bit, that statement that Mr. Trump, the president-elect, made a while back about if you vote for me in November, you don't have to vote again. And you see the friendship that he has developed around the world, whether it's with Vladimir Putin or whether it's with Kim Jong-un in North Korea. We have never elected a strong man in this country. And this is the closest America is now coming to electing a so-called strong man in that country, in this country. Isn't that sending us a message where we may be headed or where we can head?
Yes, that sounds like globalization. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, that's beyond the president. So looking at the ties that Donald Trump has made worldwide, mm-hmm. because of his previous experience being a businessman and wanting to innovate, he claims he wants to innovate what's in place already. I think what happens is he's moving towards those who have this idea that in order for us to progress, and not only as the United States of America, but around the world, it has to be one vote. It has to be one body that is in charge of our finances, one body in charge of our education, one body in charge of our health care, mm-hmm. and that is going to take a long amount of time. That just can't happen under his administration.
Well, we do hope so. Before you go this morning, I have about two or three more questions to wrap up this segment. When you look at the individual that Mr. Trump has now put in place of in charge of health, global health experts are now sounding the alarm over RFK Jr., citing a pneumonia outbreak. Health officials around the world are now saying that there will be an impact if Robert F. Kennedy, who is an individual who is anti-vaccine, they're skeptical about this individual who Mr. Trump has now tapped to be his health secretary. Do you think these things sends picks like these? Do you think they send us a message?
Yes, it does send us a message in regards to vaccination. I think also they're looking at how vaccination was rolled out throughout the United States, and people should also have the right to choose. But mm-hmm. when it comes to the safety of all, when there a pandemic occurs, they're also going to have to rely on those public health officials and those who are more advanced and aware of what that entails. So mm-hmm. programs like the WHO and also Public Health for America, mm-hmm. they're also going to have more say regarding like vaccination. Mm-hmm. So if you work, for example, in a hospital system and they say this is a measure that we protect mm-hmm. our workers and also our communities that we serve, they have the right to say this is a implemented law that it has to be mandated. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. even though John F. Kennedy Jr. is pro-vaccination, mm-hmm. then it's only going to say, well, what are the ways that we can innovate what we already have? Mm-hmm. And if you can see the backlash of mandating safe spaces throughout, for example, New York City, we were on lockdown during COVID. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is they bring into question, how can we make it better. So before Trump was even presidency, there was a policy that is looked upon as 15-minute communities. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we were under another pandemic, they would want it set up where people would not have to travel outside of their community. So it's just like if you work 15 minutes out of your community, most likely you're going to be a frontline essential worker. So I think there's a lot of things in works, and people have to understand that those regulations also come under health policy laws and mm-hmm. not necessarily for residents. Mm-hmm.
Before you go this morning, Ms. Williams, I want to thank you for your time. But with a background in public health, with a background in journalism, and as a humanitarian leader, what advice would you have for young women, especially in this country, going forward? And what advice would you have for them regarding partaking in elections and partaking in community?
Well, to every young girl, middle-aged woman, even elderly woman, eager to implement change, you don't know what can happen unless you try. Securing an education in policy or law, even international relations, can strengthen collaborative approach for interests in strengthening bordering nations. Mm-hmm. So I would say do your research. Continue your research. Ask questions. Apply to even get an intern. Learn amongst their respective leaders in place, join community organizations geared towards policy reform. You can become a local ambassador, leader, or member of Congress for strategic planning, and seeking mentorship for those already in elective state Senate offices, statewide elective offices, state House assemblies. There's congresswomen, mayors. We live in a society where there's constant change. So technology as well, you can use your voice. You can create a platform where you can speak, where even these elected officials will call on you. So it's just a matter of saying that I don't only want to be seen, I want to be heard. And if it's for the people, you have to build also a structure around you of support. It doesn't have to be families and friends, but it comes back to community. Mm-hmm. So I would say to them is to continue to build allies within their community, and don't stop. You could create organizations, and we live in a world where if you don't know, it simply may be because you lack resources. So doing that additional work and getting online and, you know, asking around questions, it's free to ask questions. So I would say to them, you know, to press on and make sure that if they have a vision, that vision includes tomorrow. Mm. What we do today, it impacts our tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I listen to you, just now, I have one more question. As an Afro-Caribbean woman living in New York City, you're born to migrant parents from the West Indies, huh? That alone says something to me in terms of how this city is built up. It is said that New York City might be one of the most diversified city in the country. And looking down the road to the next 4 years under this incoming administration, and as of now we do not see the diversity in this incoming administration. Does that make you worry? Final question?
No.
Ah.
And what? The reason why I say no is because if you go to a hospital setting, mm-hmm. your doctors, your nurses, when you look at even those who are in janitorial positions, or you go to your library, mm-hmm. or you go to any services that we have here, that's a diverse pool of people. Those are refugees, those are migrants, those are even people that may have been deported and came back into this country and make changes. Mm. Our professors, our educators, our caregivers are a collective body of people who come from different places around the world. So just take a look around you. Mm-hmm. That is how you know. That is how you know, and that's how it always has been, especially in the United States. So even though we see things, do not deter away from the fact is, at the end of the day, it's those who come from outside of this country who keep this country going. Mm-hmm. And that will never, that will never stop. As long as we do not give up or give in, it will never stop. So no, I am not dismayed, mm-hmm. and I'm not fearful of the future. Why? Because under any administration, I've seen changes. Mm-hmm. They may not be reported, but it's happening in real time.
Indeed, indeed. Miss Shoshana Williams, I want to thank you for your time this morning. I want to thank you for the conversation. And I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of Grooving Radio's Mic Check Conversation this Saturday morning. Have a blessed week, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. One love. Thank you, everybody.
One love. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to end of Mic Check.